The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
Главной политико-идеологической задачей считаю развитие России как свободного демократического государства. Мы довольно часто произносим эти слова, однако глубинный смысл ценностей свободы и демократии.
That is a clip from a speech from Vladimir Putin 16 years ago, a speech in which he said something he said more than once. The loss of the Soviet Union is the greatest geopolitical tragedy of the last century. Is that his motivation for what has been unfolding in Ukraine over the last 2 weeks? Let's discuss with a man who advised President Putin, who I recently saw on my colleague Sean Spicer's show on Newsmax. He is a former economic advisor to Russia's acting prime minister, Yegor Gaidar, chief economic advisor to Russian prime minister, Viktor Chernomyrdin, and chief economic advisor to Vladimir Putin, Dr. Andrei Ilarionov. Welcome to America First.
Thank you very much, Sebastian, for inviting me.
You are very, very welcome. You have an illustrious resume. I have 3 pages worth of your qualifications in front of me. We do not have many people with your prior access inside the Kremlin speaking out on American media regarding the events occurring in Ukraine. So let's start at the beginning. Will you walk us through, our millions of listeners and viewers across the country, your background before you came to the United States, your qualifications? You've studied in the UK, in Austria, at Stanford University. So may I ask you just to introduce yourself to our listeners?
I'm an economist by my training, and I spent most of my time as economist and studying economic policy and advising on economic policy. You mentioned some of the people whom I advise to. For almost 6 years, I was economic advisor to current Russian president. And that time, Russia was able to have a pretty remarkable economic growth that doubled GDP of the country and GDP per capita within 10 years. It was a little economic miracle for the Russian economy, but it was everything in the past. Since year 2008, after 3 years after my departure, Russian economy went into stagnation, and since then, economic growth of Russia was not more than 1% per year on average. So instead of doubling GDP within 10 years, it's a kind of 10% growth, so 7 to 8% per year, country was growing about 1%, less than 1% per year. Now, definitely, it's a crisis, and the intentions of the Russian leadership, and first of all, of Mr. Putin right now, is very opposite to what you have demonstrated in your initial short when Putin was talking about a little bit about democracy, freedom, or whatever. It's definitely wrong. It's Putin does not pursue these goals anymore. His intentions are imperialistic. His intentions are conquering the neighboring country, establishing a new world order. And definitely, as he made it very clearly over the last 3 months, his main goal is to establish sphere of influence in Europe according to the so-called 1997 line, 1917 division line in Europe, which means all Eastern and Central Europe should come under his sphere of influence.
Yeah, the Kremlin calls the near abroad. We have
even more, because 1997, a line which means not only near abroad, it means not only Ukraine, Georgia, not only Baltics, but also Poland.
Yes.
Slovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania. And in the document that Putin sent to the responded to the United States and NATO in December, January, and February, he was very clear. He mentioned all these countries that should be demilitarized or de-NATOized. It means that revoking their NATO membership and removal of all military equipment or whatever forces from NATO in those countries. So it's an attempt to reestablish the so-called Stalin line of 1945, right after the Second World War. So Mr. Putin's ambitions now is not only Ukraine. This is at least half of Europe, but because his appetite is growing every day and every week. So we don't know yet what his final goal. Actually, we know this goal. It will be growing. His appetite will be growing every day and every week if he is not stopped.
Dr. Ilarionov, you've worked at the highest levels in the Kremlin. In the last few days, we've read all kinds of unsubstantiated reports about he's taking drugs, he's taking steroids. I see no reason to posit that, given the fact that he is doing things that are predictable, given his statements over the last 21 years. You've worked, you have advised this individual. Can you give us a sense of who Vladimir Putin is and explain why people should not be surprised at the events of the last 2 weeks?
He's very calculated person. He's very persistent person. If he takes some particular goal, he's using all possible and impossible resources and all instruments and technologies and manipulations or whatever just to get this goal be achieved. So that is why I would not buy any all this stuff about he became crazy, mad, he does not understand what's going on. No, all his actions that we can see, they are absolutely devilish. But they are very persistent in achieving his goals.
And given that you advised him, how does he react to advice? Does he listen to others? There was, of course, much made in the last few decades that he had Svengalis, he had influencers like Dugin advising him. Does he have his own plan, or are there people that he relies upon who he listens to?
I have not met any other person who was ready to listen to anyone from any point, with any point of view, from all political spectrum. If he considers that person is knowledgeable, professional, if he considers that person as an expert, he listens very carefully. And he tries, at least it was in time when I was there, so he was trying to get as much as possible information for his purposes. So that is why for him there is no limits whom he would be listening to, whom he would be talking to. If it helps him, he would listen to anyone. So that is why he's probably the only person that I met in my life with such a wide approach that he could listen to very, very far left, to very far right, to some kind of to anyone if it helped his case.
And what is the status given attacks on the imprisonment of Hodorkovsky and others? Is there any, we're seeing protests on the streets of Moscow and elsewhere, but is there a nascent opposition? Are there people who can stand up to his decisions? There are two retired generals who wrote opinion pieces in the last week saying that the president is wrong, which is an interesting sign. Can you give us a glimpse into the state of any potential resistance inside Russia to these policies?
I would not very much rely on it. Just we need to understand, especially people in the West and the United States should understand or try to understand the situation in that political regime. This is a almost totalitarian regime. In totalitarian regime, you would not see very many protests. How many protests we could see in the Stalinist USSR?
Yeah.
Anyone who would protest would be immediately put in jail in the best case or shoot at the spot. How many resistance, I mean just the public demonstrations or meetings we would see in Nazi Germany? Just those people would be killed. In the best case, they would be sent into the concentration camp. So that's exactly what's happening in Russia right now. Those people who went to the streets protesting this war against Ukraine, 7,500 people have been arrested, and now they are under the bar, behind the bars. So that is why just to expect that these whatever mass protests could change calculations of Putin or to change his policy, it is non-substantiated approach. It will not happen. This is a totalitarian regime.
Dr. Ilarionov, as an economist, you are perhaps the best person to ask regarding the state of the Russian Federation's economy today. We have these sanctions that have been imposed, now Visa and MasterCard. We have an economy that is a fraction of what it was under the time of the Soviet regime. Can you give us an update, a snapshot of what the economy was like in recent years since you stopped advising the Kremlin? How fragile the ruble, how fragile the stock market was, and then your estimation of how sanctions are impacting Russia in the last 13 days?
Some sanctions that have been applied are effective ones, especially the sanctions to freeze assets of the central bank. This is probably the most important sanction that has been applied. So if all countries around the world would follow the same policy, it would have probably the most important impact, a more serious impact on the Russian economy and the decision-making process in Moscow. But it is only one step. There should be some other steps, including the financial isolation of all banking system of Russia, with cutting all financial ties with all banking system of Russia right now. And also, it is necessary to introduce a transportation blockade with cutting off all contacts, all transportation contacts with Russia by air, by sea, by land. That's next important step. But we need to understand that sanctions by themselves and all decisions which is absolutely necessary in terms of isolation Russia in international organizations are not enough to stop this aggression.
And do any of these sanctions really matter if we don't sanction the gas and oil industry? Isn't that really the lifeblood for Putin?
You're absolutely right, and that is why we were advocating from the very beginning there should be total embargo on all export and import from and to Russia, and especially to all energy export and all transactions concerning gas and oil. This is a number one demand and requirement for anyone, especially here in the United States. It's unbelievable that the United States is not ready to apply those sanctions for Russian energy export. For United States, Russian energy is a tiny fraction of all energy that United States is receiving. Europe is much far ahead, is ready to cut fully from Russian gas. Even Europe is by maybe 35 or even 40% dependent on the Russian gas, but they are ready because they understand this is war not only against Ukraine. This is war against Europe. This is war against NATO, against the United States, against the West, against the whole world. And that is why the number one priority for the whole world to stop aggressor right now, because without stopping him, he will go further. And it is means not only thousands of people might be killed, but will be this count can go to millions. It is absolutely necessary to stop aggressor right now. Let's do Ukraine will be the last his attempt to attack Europe or any other country.
Can you give us your measure of how you think the sanctions against oligarchs and the billionaires will develop? Will that put pressure on Putin, or do these people have their money already sheltered in Cyprus and elsewhere, and it doesn't really matter? Will he be pressured by these people, or does he have full control?
No, that's exactly what Mr. Putin see with great enjoyment and satisfaction, because that gives him an opportunity to control those people with money. The people with money, however you call them, businessmen, oligarchs, they have zero, once again, I repeat, zero impact on the decision-making process of Mr. Putin. So that is why the more sanctions will be applied to these people, it means those people will be under influence of himself if they are in Russia, or they will be outside of Russia. But it will not make any changes in Putin's decision-making process. People here in the United States and the West still do not understand the logic and nature of this political regime. This is a totalitarian regime. Just what kind of impact those people could have on Putin? Anyone could have impact on Stalin? Could anyone have impact on Hitler when they are already in war? I'd like to just remind people here that after the attack on Finland in 1939, when Stalin started this Soviet-Finnish war, or Winter War, which is known in Finland, the Soviet Union has been expelled from the League of Nations.
Yes.
So whether it stopped Stalin from continuation of this war? No. He continued this war for 100 days. Whether it stopped Stalin from attack on Baltic countries and occupation of all Baltic countries? No. Whether it stopped Stalin from occupation of Bessarabia and Northern Bukovina? No. So the sanctions, now the sanctions movement or expelling from the international organization, but I think it's absolutely necessary, for example, to expel Russia from the Security Council of United Nations right now. So even those absolutely necessary measures would not stop tanks rolling on the Ukrainian land. So that is why it is necessary to think about hardware policies or hardware response to hardware attack from the Russian side.
Dr. Ilyarinov, can you help our listeners get inside the mindset of the average Russian in terms of the information that they are allowed to consume? This narrative coming out of the Kremlin that this is a peacekeeping operation, it is a humanitarian operation in Ukraine, it's there to save ethnic Russians from genocidal ethnic cleansing by the government in Kiev that is a fascist Nazi government. Can you explain how information is controlled and how this narrative is hard to undermine within Russia?
Probably it will be very hard to explain to the Western audience because those people completely isolated from other information, from information abroad. And all last remnants of relatively free or semi-free media have been closed over the last 10 days. There is no foreign sources of information within Russia. All those media outlets that could be considered either opposition or semi-opposition have been closed down. There is no possibility to even social networks like YouTube, like Twitter, like Facebook, like livejournal.com, essentially either closed completely or substantially closed down by the Russian authorities. So that is why I would say 80 to 85% of the Russian population are completely brainwashed. They do not have access to any other information, and they have a very, very, very strange view about the rest of the world and about a state of own country. Unfortunately, we cannot rely on support from Russian from inside Russia. We have maybe 15% of Russian population who have reasonably good understanding what's going on, but they are minority. And they are under attack from the Russian security services, from Kremlin. Some of them already behind bars, some of them might be behind the bars. So unfortunately, this is a situation of the that we could see in history in totalitarian regimes like Nazi Germany, Stalinist USSR, or Northern Korea right now. This is a very similar, now very close to these to the situation of totalitarian regimes.
And how powerful is the... the historic desire amongst the 85% who don't access information or question the official state narrative, how powerful is this desire to have a strong man in Moscow? And how strong is this belief that Russia is surrounded, the Rodina is surrounded, and the West is about to attack? Is this truly the universal appreciation amongst most citizens in Russia?
No, I would not say so. Certainly, we don't have the exact sociological data because in totalitarian, semi-totalitarian regimes, we could not get any reasonable sociological data.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe 30, 35 or 40% would subscribe to this particular view. But majority of people in Russia right now are incredibly fearful. They are fearful of everything, and especially they are fearful of own regime, because that regime can destroy everything, can destroy their livelihood. They cannot arrest people on the streets. We saw just a few days ago, we saw the people on walking through the Nevsky Prospect in St. Petersburg, police coming to those people and asking, what is your view about situation in Ukraine? The person responds, lady responds, okay, I'm against the war. Okay, you're arrested. And they taking that person and bringing behind the bar. So that just once again, people outside of Russia do not have clear understanding, do not have full understanding what a kind of nightmare regime is in Russia. And that regime can do virtually everything, both within the country, and now they doing the outrageous crime in Ukraine after. And at the same time, against Georgia, against Moldova, in Syria, in many other places.
Professor, give us your likely expectations for how this could develop. If we get serious on sanctions, as you said, not just against the general Russian populace, but against state assets and so forth in the central bank, let me put it other way. What would make Putin stop? We have reports, unverified, that the military is not performing well, that numerous helicopters were downed at the weekend by Ukrainian forces. Nevertheless, the Russian armed forces greatly, greatly outnumber the Ukrainians. A siege mentality is hard to break if you are fighting for your homeland. What are the things that will provide a pause for thought in the mind of Vladimir Putin?
Several steps. First, establishing of land-lease arrangement for Ukraine, supplying Ukraine with all munitions and military equipment, what is necessary, just right away, not waiting for just waiting for payment from the Ukrainian side.
So exactly as the United States did for Britain during World War II.
Correct. Exactly the same arrangement. So. Closing sky over at least Western Ukraine. Western Ukraine, right bank Ukraine, establishing no-fly zone for that particular territory within NATO forces. Providing anti-air equipment to Ukrainians, giving the green light and giving the jets to Ukrainians who are ready to fight Russians by themselves. But please give them jets. This permission is still not being given to Poland, Bulgaria, Slovakia, all other countries that are ready to do it. Deployment of some troops from a coalition of the willing countries into the Western Ukraine to secure humanitarian controls in the Western Ukraine, securing the convoys with munitions for Ukraine. It is also a very substantial deterrent to Belarusian dictator Lukashenko from participating in aggression against Ukraine. For Polish, Lithuanian, and Lithuanian troops, I think it's time to concentrate on the Belarusian border and to issue warning to Belarusian dictator if Belarusian land will be used against Ukraine for aggression, either for land aggression or attacks by air. That will be very serious repercussions for Lukashenko himself. Once again, it is necessary to understand this is not a Ukrainian war. This is a European war. And Mr. Putin clearly said, and now the secret documents that have been captured by the Ukrainian military have shown it very, very clear. This is only first stage, only first step of the full-scale European war. Mr. Putin should stop right now. And that is why all countries, all good willing countries need to help and need to support and need to defend Ukraine with all possible resources. It is necessary also to provide canals for volunteers from all countries to go to Ukraine and to fight for Ukraine and defend Ukraine. It is necessary to open a criminal case against Mr. Putin in the Hague Criminal Court. It is necessary to start process of expelling Putin's Russia from the Security Council of the United Nations. It is necessary to establish full embargo on all trade with Russia, and especially for energy. This is the only very first step that it's necessary to do it right now.
That's a fabulous list. I hope you've written an article to that effect, which I would love to repost on all my social media platforms. I especially like the idea of a modern 21st century lend lease, because it's been done before. Now it can be done with the Ukrainian government. However, I must ask you to address the concerns from many here in Washington, D.C., that a Western guaranteed or a no-fly zone, even over a partial a part of the Ukrainian airspace, would clearly be seen as an act of war by Russia, by Putin, and it would have to be policed by NATO jets. So NATO jets would have to potentially shoot down Russian jets. At that point, are you not worried in an escalation that could potentially lead to all-out war between NATO and Russia?
No, and I give you three examples, historic examples that happened just in front of our eyes. In year 2008, during the Russian-Georgian war, when during the attack on aggression against Georgia, President of the United States, George Bush, have sent sixth fleet from Mediterranean to the Black Sea, and he started to relocate U.S. Air Force to Romania and to Turkey with very clear intentions. 6 hours after those movements have been detected by the Russian general staff, President Medvedev has announced that operation against Georgia has been stopped. Second point, in year 2015, Russian bomber violated Turkish airspace for 40 seconds. Turkish jet shot down the Russian bomber, killing both pilots of that bomber. After that, what was the reaction? What was the response of Mr. Putin? Nothing. Just nothing. Nothing at all. There is no reaction. And Russian bombers, after that, never violated Turkish airspace. Third example, year 2018, when the Russian private company Wagner, with the Russian soldiers, 200 people, went in Syria trying to get a gas plant. And after that, Central Command of the United States sent planes to that area and fully destroyed this group, 200 people.
Yeah, how many
times Mr. Putin mentioned this case in his statements and writings or whatever? Yeah. The answer is zero.
Zero, yeah. That's the Trump. Let me just remind everybody, that's the Trump administration targeted 200 Russian mercenaries in Syria, and there was no reaction. Perfectly done. Thank you, Dr. Ilarionov. I could continue this discussion for a very long time. I hope we can invite you again, Dr. Ilarionov. I want to recruit you to help me answer an accusation that sadly is coming from some conservatives with regards to the war we are witnessing. And they're saying it's our fault. It's the West's fault by allowing NATO to expand to the Baltic states, to Hungary, by considering EU membership for the Ukraine. We provoked this war. Would you please address this canard?
This is a completely falsified accusation. Each country, each nation, each society has a right to live in peace and choose its own way of development. Ukrainians have chosen Western way. They would like to be with the Western nations. They would like to be members, parts of Western community of nations, means free, democratic, based on rule of law. They made it clear many times through their 30 years of independence. That's their choice. That's a choice of 40 million nations. So it was NATO that was not some kind of ready to accept membership for NATO membership for Ukraine. If United States with other allies would accept Ukraine into NATO, that war would not happen. It is absolutely clear.
Yeah.
Putin did not attack any NATO countries. Not only Putin, Stalin did not attack NATO countries. Soviet Union did not touch any NATO countries. NATO membership is the best guarantee for peace in Europe and around the world. So that is why if somebody wants to stop the war and to make more peace, just give NATO membership to Ukraine. And that would be guarantee that hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of people will not be killed by Russian aggressor.
Last question. What is it the West doesn't understand about Putin that they need to know, Professor?
Don't trust Putin at all. Don't make deals with Putin at all. And you need to understand there is no, cannot be peace and there cannot be any negotiations, cannot be any agreement with Mr. Putin. The only guarantee for the peace in Europe and the world that would be deputinization of Russia. Not only armistice, but it should be deputinization of Russia. Because as long as Mr. Putin is the head of Russia, the whole world is under threat of attack, including nuclear attack against the world.
When you have a killer, a thug in charge of a nuclear-tipped nation, the world is in danger. That was fabulous. Thank you, Professor. Thank you. We have been talking to former presidential and prime ministerial advisor to the Russian government, Dr.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.
This is Jerry Boyer for townhall.com. In the past 14 years, we've witnessed three crises involving Russian incursions against its neighbors. What did all three events have in common? High oil prices and the broader issue of global inflation. This isn't happening now because Putin is a tyrant. Putin has always been a tyrant. It's not happening because Americans' foreign affairs ruling class is clueless, because they've been clueless for a long time. The variable is oil prices. 2008 invasion of Georgia, 2014 annexation of Crimea, and now the 2022 war against Ukraine, all followed upon oil price spikes. Russia is a petrostate. There is a direct correlation between oil prices and Russian income and Russia's ability to finance imperial adventures. The most powerful way to change the calculus for Putin is to starve the Russian state of revenues by simply unleashing American energy ingenuity. Oil is now at nosebleed high levels. If we can drive it down, we can drive down Putin's ability to feed his war machine. I'm Jerry Boyer.
The Pepperdine School of Public Policy, America's unique graduate program for leaders. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.